Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Relationships That Work, the Power of Conscious Living Show, an adventure in self-realization and conscious living. This is a place and time for spiritually based transformation through empowered communication, courageous introspection, and purposeful action. Integrate ancient wisdom into your daily life and relationships. Let's join our host, Dr. David Wolf.
Welcome to the Sofitove Radio Hour. This is your host, David Wolf, Sofitove Institute Radio Hour. I'm here in the Sofitove Studios with Marie Glashine at the controls. This is the Sofitove Institute Radio Hour. And remembering with Freshness and Enthusiasm, our interview last week with Dr. Sajan Allen Gore. I received many comments over the past week about how our listeners were so enlivened by that interview, by Gore's expressions, and by hearing how he's living the principles of transformative communication in his life, in his career and family and spiritual life. It was inspiring for me to hear how fascinated people were by that conversation. Transformative communication, this is the Sofitove Radio Hour. It's your station for self-realization. It's your station for life-changing coaching. You get your life-changing coaching here. No, we're not exaggerating when we say that. It's just like you can go to a shop and get whatever the shop sells. So here we're giving away transformative coaching, transformative communication, transformative coaching. If you're a seasoned veteran listener, either by audio link or live on our shows, then you've had experience either with yourself or listening to others, getting inspired by others as they share their process and get life-changing coaching where we all benefit. I know if I'm in the role of coach and I'm present and I'm giving myself, I'm entering the world of another person, then often I think I'm getting the most value here. In this process of transformative communication, it's, in one sense, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's in which role, who's in the role of listener, who's in the role of speaker. Self-realization is taking place. Self-realization, deepening of knowledge. What was it? Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we had a show. We focused a lot on the Vedic Personality Inventory, the VPI. And by the way, you can take the Vedic Personality Inventory at vedicpersonality.org. And also, there's a link there. There's a link there at the homepage of the Sofitove website. That's sofitove.com. I'll spell it for you. S as in Stephen, A, T, Thomas, V, Victor, A, T, Thomas, O, V, Victor, E, sofitove.com. Check out the library section. There's a multitude of links to our radio shows and other audio excerpts and articles about transformative communication and videos, articles, videos, audio links. Sofitove.com, also at sofitove.com, there's a link to vedicpersonality.org where you can take the Vedic Personality Inventory. Vedic Personality Inventory is It's a personality assessment based on the three modes of material nature, sattva, rajas, and tamas. And so I developed it back in the mid and late 1990s. And we talked about these modes of nature. We talked about an empirical basis for happiness, And although maybe most of the time we don't talk about these gunas directly, this is really what our coaching is. It's really what our coaching is about. It's about elevating our consciousness to a more enlightened state and playing that role for each other. Now, to understand things in perspective, sometimes our Satpatov coaching, as you may have heard on this show or you have experienced, I know many of our listeners have been through Satpatov coaching. Our Satpatov coaching, oftentimes it's very purposeful, very action-oriented, very smart. Smart's an acronym meaning specific, measurable, aligned with our integrity, realistic, and time-oriented. Satpatov coaching, it's so much about setting goals, clarifying our goals with clear intention and achieving them with a purposeful plan, and you get coached on that. You can get coached on that right here on the show. You can get coached on that right here today. All of that is coming from a platform of self-realization. Sometimes we say in our Satpatov coach training, we have our Satpatov Institute School of Transformative Coaching, Principles and Practices of Transformative Coaching. In our coach training, we'll also say that most effective coaching sessions have a clear and concrete action plan. And all quality coaching sessions have awareness raising. All quality sessions have awareness raising. Most have a clear action plan with an accountability, a structure, etc., etc. Elevation. So sattva means enlightenment. In the original book about yoga and dharma and karma and all of that, it's also the original book about these gunas. It's the Bhagavad Gita, the Song of the Supreme. Bhagavad Gita describes, it describes so many facets and aspects of our life with respect to the three modes. Whether it's the food we eat or the work we do or the charity that we give. There's different modes. Like, let's say if we give charity to someone on the street who uses it for another bottle of whiskey, it's charity. It's a different mode of nature than if we give charity to an orphanage that is taking good care of the children. It's a different mode than if we give charity to a genuine project that is enhancing the spiritual consciousness and life of people. Different modes. And it's not just what we do, it's also our mentality, our consciousness. Whether it's in eating or doing an austerity, are we doing it for purification? Are we doing it to be recognized as a great person, a very wonderful person? Are we doing it for some adoration or distinction? Are we doing it out of complete foolishness? This is the Satpatov Radio Hour. We invite you to call in, share your perspectives, and call in, share what's happening for you. Call in, get transformative communication coaching right here. Satpatov Radio Hour, your station for self-realization. Call in, get coaching here. It's described happiness. Are you happy? I'm happy. No. Are you happy? No, I'm not happy. So there's happiness in different modes. It's very nuanced. It's like described that happiness in sattva, happiness in the mode of goodness, can sometimes seem like poison at the beginning and nectar at the end. It can be that principle of divine austerity, where we give up a lower pleasure, and that can be challenging if we're habituated to it. We give up something lower in order not to just be masochists. We give up a lower pleasure to get to achieve, to create a more profound, deeper, higher happiness. the happiness from the soul. Happiness in the mode of passion. That's where it seems real nice at the beginning, and it becomes like poison. It starts happiness, it becomes misery. Maybe we can identify some of those endeavors for happiness in our life now and over the years and the decades. It starts very pleasant, and it becomes more and more miserable. Okay, it's not that deep lasting. Spiritual pleasure is eternal. We're eternal entities, right? So, like, otherwise, if we're looking for our happiness in anything that's temporary, yehi sam sparsha jambhoga duki and yonayebite, then it's not going to be satisfying. It might be gratifying temporarily, but like a fish out of water, our water is that eternal nature, right? So let's say it's a hot summer day. And I have an ice cream. I have a cone of ice cream. That's really good. That's heavenly. And it's so good, I have a second ice cream. It's a hot summer day, and I just ran around, and I'm sweating. I have a second ice cream. That was almost as good as the first. Almost. And then a third one. Well, I'm kind of like that. For me, it's pretty easy to eat a lot more than I should. Yeah, you're shocked, Murray. It's pretty easy to eat a lot more than is labeled. But I said, okay, yeah, I'll do a third one because stuffing myself is what I do. But then the third one, it's just like, yeah, it still kind of tasted good, but it's starting to feel a little queasy. And then let's say the fourth one, the fourth cone of ice cream. Well, then that's actually painful. The fifth one, you know, maybe if you paid me a lot of money. But what's happening here, Marie? Because the ice cream's the same. Right? It's made of the same stuff. But it's not that eternal happiness. So we talked about happiness in Satvagun, that which might be a little bitter at first, but then we acquire a taste, just like maybe a child. A child might feel a little forced to go to school at some point. But then, at least for some children, they develop a taste for it. Maybe they, when they grow up, they voluntarily become scholars and they go to university. And they develop a taste for it. They develop a taste for giving up maybe going to the bar every day or just fooling around. And they voluntarily go to school because they develop a thirst for learning and knowledge. And then happiness in the mode of passion, maybe pleasant at the beginning, becomes unpleasant. And happiness in the mode of ignorance, it's just like foolishness from beginning to end. It's blind to self-realization. Maybe it's just, yeah, my happiness is sleeping 12 hours a day. No hint of the spark of self-realization. Blind to self-realization. This is David Wolf, your host of the Sofitov Institute Radio Hour. Thank you for being with us. We'll be glad to hear from you on chat. We invite you to call in and talk with us. Get coaching on the spot. The number to call, if you'd like to call in, 805-285-9749. If you call in and you want to speak, press 1. That number again, 805-285-9749. This is David Wolf, your host of the Sofitov Institute Radio Hour. Thank you for joining us. We've been speaking about life-changing coaching. We've been speaking about the three gunas, the three predominant modes of material nature. Vedic personality inventory, we use that word inventory. it can be so valuable to take inventory, just like if we're running a business. Take inventory. Oh, what do we have? What's in stock? So that's consciousness. What do we have? What's in stock? We take inventory, psychic inventory, spiritual inventory. What am I bringing with me from the past? Getting clear. Here's my inventory. That supports me. That helps me to be powerful in the present and moving into the future, creating the life I want. This process of taking inventory, the Vedic personality inventory, we get to take inventory of where am I at with respect to the modes of material nature. To what extent am I influenced by tamas or inertia? Where my attempts at happiness are blind to self-realization, to what extent am I predominated by rajas, the mode of activity, where I'm endeavoring for happiness that feels good now, there's gratification, and maybe by the end of the day, or maybe as the years go on, it turns into misery. To what extent am I influenced by sattva-gun, the mode, the raja, the guna of enlightenment, where my intelligence is engaged for lasting, long-term fulfillment, not just immediate gratification. We take inventory. This is a conscious endeavor. So, Sky, we talked, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago about karma. And karma can have a fatalistic ring to it if one has a misconception. Actually, through conscious living, we change our karma. Through conscious living, we step out of our past. Through conscious living, we get to transcend our karma. Conscious living properly applied. Karma, it means our past. It means what we've done and the effects of that. You might say it's the law of action and reaction on the subtle platform. To figure out their karma, some people go to astrology to try to figure out their karma. And so we can take inventory. Important to keep in mind is we get to change our karma by conscious living. We don't need that. Our biography does not need to equal our destiny. Our biography does not need to equal our destiny. You're listening to the Sofitope Radio Hour. This is David Wolf, your host. We invite you to call in and be on the show. We invite you to write in on chat. Share yourself. Share your perspectives. What's happening for you? What's your point of view? Thank you for joining in the Sofitope Radio Hour, your station for self-realization. In coaching, a lot about what we do is getting clear. Self-realization means knowing ourself. And in this process of transformative coaching, we get clear on who I am, and what do I want? What do I really want? What's vitally important for me? Oftentimes in that process, we come to realize that so many things I've been striving for and hankering for and endeavoring for, and maybe I got, or maybe I'm frustrated in my endeavors, that, you know, actually, I didn't really want them. They weren't really my goals. Maybe they were goals that my parents set for me, or goals that were important for me 20 years ago. But I'm noticing I'm lacking motivation because it's not really me anymore. Or we might identify, yes, I really do want this. And I keep tripping myself up. I keep sabotaging. What's that about? What's that about? We spoke a few weeks ago, about the ant and the elephants. Maybe we remember that one. The ant walking south on the elephant galloping north. So it's like, there I am, I'm that ant, and I'm really straining my legs to go south quick. Yep. But there's all of this less than conscious stuff. That's the elephant galloping north. Things go from subtle to gross. That's a spiritual principle. Things go from subtle to gross. So sometimes that, you know, that ant going south, that's just, of course, that's just the tip of the iceberg. And so with that 1% of the tip of the iceberg, I'm trying and trying and trying, but I'm not aware, or I'm pretending not to be aware of 99% of what's going on, and that's what's so much driving my life. That's a galloping elephant. The process of conscious communication, the process of transformative communication, we get to look what's beneath the surface, and to bring that which was less than conscious to the conscious surface. And from that platform, we get to consciously create our life with clear intention. Clear intention means conscious intention. We're conscious of our assumptions. We're conscious of our beliefs. We're conscious of our avoidance strategies, our self-sabotaging strategies. We're conscious of our fears. Maybe it means, I've been trying to get rich, and nothing goes my way, and it just doesn't work. The businesses don't work. The investments don't work. And so with some exploration, we might find, I have these inner beliefs that wealthy people are not kind. Wealthy people are mean. Wealthy people will lose their friends. Wealthy people are not spiritual. Wealthy people are cheaters. And so I don't want to be a cheater. I want to have friends. I don't want to be a mean person. So, okay, this might point to why I'm tripping myself up in my financial endeavors. Similarly, we get to look at self-defeating beliefs, self-sabotaging strategies in relationships and spiritual practice and our endeavors for genuine happiness in whatever life endeavor is important for us. And that we talk about the principle of intention, the power of intention. And we emphasize that the power, the principle of intention, it's always working for every one of us. It's a universal principle, like gravity. It's always working. The question is, to what extent am I consciously utilizing this principle of intention to create the life I want? And to what extent is the principle of intention working beneath the conscious surface to take me I'm just following along, and I'm not the author of my life. Intention, for example. If we want to know what's our intention about our body weight, we just need to step on the scale. There it is, very clear. So no, that's not my intention. My intention is to be 30 pounds less. Well, no, the universe doesn't lie. What's my intention about my relationships? Look at the status of my relationships. There it is. We can read it like a magazine. What's our intention about our finances? Look at my bank account. That reflects. The universe doesn't lie. Now, yes, maybe that's not what we consciously chose. It's a healthy perspective to see, okay, how am I the source of this? I might not have consciously chose this, but how am I the source of this? How am I the source of my health situation, my fitness, my finances, my relationships, my accomplishments, my lack of accomplishments? apart from the stories I tell myself, how healthy it can be, how productive and empowering it can be to look at how am I the source of this. And with questions such as that, we get to transform less than conscious intention to fully conscious and clear intention.
David, I have a message for our listener. We have some technical problem here, and we are unable to see the callers that want to come in or the people on the chat. So if you are queued in to for your question or if you are asking questions on the chat, apologize for our inability to see you or to know that you are there. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie. Thank you, Marie, for bringing that to our attention, including my attention. Some technical difficulties on the Sofitobe Radio Hour today. We apologize for that. This is David Wolf, your host, here in the Sofitobe Studios in sunny Alachua, Florida. No, it's not sunny. It's a rainy, cloudy, miserable day. Here in Alachua, Florida, here in the Sofitobe Studios, with Marie Glashine at the controls, which are not working today very well. Marie Glashine is not just the tech master. She's also a highly effective, transformative communication coach. I know that Marie doesn't like the term coach very much, actually. Because there's so much going on in the name of coaching that actually I don't identify with. I know that's true for Marie, too. Still, we use the term. The term coaching, as far as I'm aware, has been used really going back even to the 1830s. There's a great spiritual authority. His name is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. He was a spiritual leader in India, late 1800s, early 1900s, and he continues to be very influential today amongst those who are connected with Vaishnavism, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And Bhakti Siddhanta, he said personal one-on-one coaching can be more effective than the group format for touching someone's heart and creating transformation. Bhakti Siddhanta said, he used that term, personal coaching, one-on-one. So I don't know whether he said in the early 1900s or late 1800s, but he said that, coaching. So at the same time, so we can definitely resonate that coaching is an appropriate term for what we do and endeavor to do here in Sofitobe. Same time, there's a lot going on in the name of coaching that I know I don't identify with. Of course, we know coaching from sports, and we tend not to adopt the same spirit as a sports coach. We tend not just at the same time, some parallels are there in the sense of, like, if you come to Sofitobe for coaching, so you're on the court and you're scoring all the points. You're on the court, you're scoring all the points, and we're fully behind you. We're ready to support and challenge you to play a game in excellence in whatever arena you're dedicated to, in whatever arena you're devoted to. And everything we do is geared towards self-awareness, self-realization, whether we're doing coaching on doubling your income, improving your health, creating deeply satisfying relationships, writing that book that you've been putting off. Whatever it is, whatever it is. It's purposeful action on the basis of self-realization. We're spiritual beings having a human experience, rather than human beings who sometimes get a glimpse of spiritual experience. Yes, our spiritual nature might be covered, and that's the process of transformative coaching, to uncover that. That's the process of raising our awareness in the modes of nature from Rajas and Tamas, ignorance and inertia, to enlightenment and goodness. And then our actions are empowered from that platform of spiritual life and spiritual realization.
I want to offer to our listener on the phone or all those on the chat as a backup, to be on the call, as a backup to chat with us. You can contact me on Skype. My Skype address is Marie, M-A-R-I-E, dot Glashin, G-L-A-S-H-E-E-N. So for our listener to chat, you can chat on Skype with me at marie.glashin, and you can also call on Skype, Marie Glashin. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie. Thank you, Marie. Our Blog Talk Radio technology isn't fully working today. And so Marie just offered a backup for those who want to call into the show and or share some correspondence, some chat. You can contact Marie on her Skype address. That's marie.glashin, marie.glashin. You can write or call on Skype. This is Softdope Radio Hour, your station for self-realization. Our fervent hope is that by your connection with the Softdope Radio Hour, you're getting some awareness raising. You're getting some self-realization, which relates to the purpose, which relates to the purpose of human life. This is my belief, of course. Each of you have defined your purpose, or maybe you're just thinking about it now. Based on sources of ancient wisdom, or let's say aligned with sources of ancient wisdom, one of which is the Vedas. The Vedas are summarized in a book called the Vedanta Sutra. The first aphorism there is Atato Brahma Jigyasa, which means now is the time to inquire. And for me, that relates to awareness raising, self-realization. Now that we've achieved a human form of life, it's the time to inquire about Brahma, about spirit, to ask these questions that animals and plants are not able to answer because they have intelligence. An animal knows this is food, this is not food. That's intelligence. Yeah. Sometimes I think they might have more intelligence than ourselves or myself, because sometimes I definitely get mixed up about what's proper food. So it would maybe a step up for me to go to an animal species. But anyhow, still, we have the intelligence to inquire about things like, who am I? What happens when the body dies? Who's the boss of my boss? Animals can't ask it. Animals can understand. Like my cats can understand. I'm kind of the boss there. Now, if you look at the house, it looks like they're the boss. Looks like they're, but still, there's a sense that they know who they need to manipulate. They know who they need to manipulate to get what they want. And they're good at it. And whenever we have a battle of wits, I almost always lose. They have a sense, they know who they need to manipulate in order to get what they want. They don't have a sense, though, of who do I answer to? Who's the boss of the boss? Okay? So we can ask that question. Okay, yeah, who's my authority? Who does my authority answer to? Who does my authority's authority answer to? and we trace it back, and we trace it back, and we trace it back. Who's the authority of the authority of the authority of the authority? So this is a uniquely human endeavor to ask questions like that. And we really get to who's kind of controlling behind the scenes. We can say, I know. It's just by chance. Right? I mean, I have my supervisor, and she has her supervisor, who has his supervisor. Let's keep tracing it back. We can go, whether it's in our company or the political system, keep tracing it back, and who's kind of starting everything? Who's controlling everything? And so we can ask, well, is there an intelligence behind everything? Or is it just the wind blew and there's no intelligence? So these are good questions. And we've discussed these questions here on the Safetov Radio Hour. We discuss these questions on the Safetov Bhagavad Gita course. We discuss these questions in life-enriching environments. So, Asato Brahma Jigyasa, now's the time to inquire. What's the difference between spirit and matter? What happens after death? Is there a God? Is there intelligence behind creation? What's my relationship with the Supreme? Yeah, what's the purpose of life? We get to ask these questions. If we're not asking these questions, then from my perspective, we're wasting the human form of life, largely. We're largely wasting the human form of life. You're listening to the Safetov Institute Radio Hour. If you want to call in or write in today, write to the Skype address of Marie Glashine. That's Marie.Glashine. Marie.Glashine to call in. Share your perspective, get some coaching. Happiness in the different modes, austerity in the different modes, work in the different modes, knowledge. Everyone seeking for knowledge, that's the chit potency of the self. So there's also knowledge in the different modes. To stop seeking for knowledge, we cannot do. We cannot do. So just like to stop serving, we've discussed that on the side. We can't stop serving. We can decide. Where am I going to direct that service propensity? Serving is our dharma. A dharma is that which cannot be separated from a thing. It's just like the dharma fires to be hot. Our dharma is to serve. We can serve our belly, we can serve an ideology, we can serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can serve our nation. So where's the most intelligent place to direct our service? Similarly with knowledge. Yes.
I think the most important knowledge is to know who in the football game.
Yes. What was it? Oh, yeah. It was on Saturday, January 1st. We had a program. It was a Bhakti Yoga Transformative Communication program, and I was just about to leave for the program. And my father called from, suburban Philadelphia, actually Valley Forge. My father lives in Valley Forge. Valley Forge, for those of you who don't know, it's where George Washington and his soldiers, they camped out in Valley Forge, and a lot of them died. It was a very devastating thing. And in the winter of, my history's not so good, maybe 1776 or sometime during the Revolutionary War, and so they camped out at Valley Forge, and many of them died of the cold. And so my father lives in Valley Forge, and sometimes when I go there, I'm not understanding Washington and his soldiers, because why stay out in the cold? There are so many condominiums. They all have heat. There's one of the, it's like there's this huge shopping mall. There's this huge shopping mall, one of the biggest in the United States, the King of Prussia Mall. It's right there in Valley Forge. So if they just looked a little bit for it, You know, you can go to the mall. I'm sure someone will give you a cup of tea at the mall. But anyhow, that's history. Can't do anything about it now. So my father called just before I was going to leave for this Bhakti Yoga program. And he was telling me it was halftime. It wasn't just halftime of any game. It's not that knowledge of who won the game of any game is important, Marie. But this was Penn State against the University of Florida Gators. And so naturally I'd be interested because my undergrad alma mater is the Penn State Nittany Lions. And now I live in Gainesville, Florida, where it's pretty much a religion to root for the Gators. Pretty much a religion. I mean, pretty much rooting for the Gators is taken a lot more seriously than religion in these parts. I haven't done rigorous research, but it's obvious. So my father called, and it was halftime, and he was telling me who was winning, so I had dialogue with him. So there, me and my dad, we were seeking knowledge. Who won the game? Who do you think will win? Like that. So what kind of knowledge is it? And Marie, I'm expecting your answer to be, it was the most elevated sort of knowledge because it involved me. So there's knowledge in the different modes. So let's say if our quest for knowledge does not go beyond what is food, what is shelter, where is a suitable mate for sexual interaction. So in other words, like these are the questions. This is the knowledge that animals are seeking. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. At the same time, if our quest for knowledge does not go beyond eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, even if our quest for knowledge, like, say, a tiger defends with its paws and we defend with our thermonuclear devices or our clever rationalizations and our clever verbal strategies, it's still defense. So it's knowledge related to defense. So that's it's knowledge in a different mode than knowledge that's directed towards self-realization, knowledge that's emphasizing atato brahma jigyasa. Atato brahma jigyasa. That is focusing on inquiry about liberation from the material miseries. I was reading some stories, some pastimes about a wonderful conversation took place about 500 years ago, maybe in the early 1500s, between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, he was a high-level government minister at the time in West Bengal. And he was quite respected as a scholar and just a brilliant manager. And he was really pretty much running the state. He was pretty much running the state on behalf of the king. Yes, yeah. In some ways, he was maybe even more important than the king. And so he was greatly respected and honored. And then he approached Sri Chaitanya, who's a empowered spiritual teacher of that time. And the first thing, because Sanatana Goswami, he was so successful. I mean, he probably have the equivalent of like hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions. I mean, just hugely successful in all ways. And the first thing he asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, why am I suffering? I don't want to suffer, and I'm suffering. And who am I? And he humbly admitted he's lost. He's suffering, doesn't know why he's suffering. And that led to some fascinating, enriching spiritual conversations, which are described in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, written by Krishna Das Kaviraj, specifically in the towards the end of the Majjhalila. These conversations are there. So whatever our external state, whether we're in poverty or wealth, or we have this job or that position or that, or this car or that house or whatever, we can see that We don't want to die. We don't want to suffer. Death, old age, disease, these things are happening. This is part of the material context. So how did we get here? How did we get in this entanglement? You know, rather than living in denial, resisting the material context, pretending that, no, everything's fine. All right, so these are vital questions in the human form of life. Why am I suffering? Why am I suffering from miseries coming from my own body and mind? Why am I suffering from miseries coming from natural disturbances? Why am I suffering from miseries coming from other living entities? Sometimes we talk about like death, not to be pessimistic, but to embrace reality. What's our, not to be resigned to the material context, to accept it, and then with vital inspiration to respond to it with full spiritual intelligence. That's our opportunity. Let's say, if you were to get the car of your dreams, you got the car of your dreams, and one thing you're informed when you get the car of your dreams is that it has a bomb in it, and the bomb is going to go off. You just don't know when. But I want you to get in that car and drive around and just enjoy, be happy, enjoy. It's got that sunroof and it's got, you know, it's whatever it's got. You got the car of your dreams. Be happy, enjoy it. Just know that there is a bomb there. It's going to go off. Could be later today, could be in 50 years. So my purpose here is not to be morbid or to terrorize you. It's a metaphor to see that we have these bodies. And these bodies will, they're going to grow old, become diseased, they're going to die. And whether, even if we die in 50 years or 90 years, it's really just an eye blink compared to our eternal existence and our eternal life. So to endeavor to enjoy materially like a fish out of water, it requires being in pretty steep ignorance, pretty steep, either just really numbing ourselves or pretending we don't know as we smile and drive around in that car. And I've conveniently forgotten it's going to blow up. So again, it's not about, oh, should I just live in fear of death? No, let's acknowledge let's consider how best, how most effectively, most efficiently, most intelligently to respond to the material context, which involves limitations and birth, death, old age, disease. By looking at that realistically, within that material context, we get to cultivate true spiritual joy, not just investing our energy in pretending not to know and putting on a smiley face. You're listening to the Sofitov Radio Hour. This is David Wolf, your host, here in the Sofitov Studios in cloudy, rainy Alachua, Florida, with Marie Glashin at the controls. If you want to write in or call in today, write to Marie on her Skype address. That's Marie.Glashin. I'll spell Glashin for you, Glashein. We're talking about a whole host of transcendent topics vital for self-realization, topics vital for happiness in sattvic modes. More stuff about these topics is there on the Sofitov website, sofitov.com. I'll spell it for you, S as in Stephen, A, T, Thomas, V, Victor, A, T, Thomas, O, V, Victor, E, sattvatov.com. Also, we invite you to visit vedicpersonality.org to take the Vedic Personality Inventory and see where you're at with respect to the three modes of material nature.
Thank you, David. It's quite enlivening. And, you know, this morning I wanted to get up early. And then the only reason I wanted to get up early was to, you know, cultivate that that spiritual consciousness, the consciousness that I'm not that car, or that I don't need to be concerned so much when the bomb is going to explode, because I'm not in the car, or I'm not the car. And then I was wondering, why is it that I have more faith that I will derive pleasure and happiness from staying in bed, or having a great relationship, or eating a great meal, or, you know, going to the beach, than from developing and cultivating that transcendental consciousness?
Thanks for your personal sharing and question, Murray, so that you know, a part of you at least knows, that to rise early and engage in these spiritual activities, immerse yourself in spiritual vibration at a very early hour, that's going to be conducive for your deepest, highest, most profound happiness and fulfillment. Still, there you were, and whatever you did, turned off the alarm clock, put the covers over your head, got up late. And so that means that there's other parts of yourself where the faith is, no, you'll be better off if you just sleep till the sun rises, just another 5 minutes, that whole thing. Okay, so we can each apply that to so many areas of our life where, why do we do things that we know aren't good for us, but obviously we have faith in them, otherwise we wouldn't do them. We must have some faith in those eating habits, even though they're obviously unhealthy, like that. Be glad to hear from any of our listeners if you'd like to help Marie out here. Someone would like to comment. It seems, Marie, that there's different parts of yourself. Different parts of yourself. Seems it relates to that sort of tip of the iceberg, ant going south and the elephant galloping north. This all seems to relate. It seems this process of bhakti yoga, this process of self-realization, this process, scientific process of transformative communication, that we're cultivating. We're cultivating this intelligently placed faith in spiritual activity and spiritual life. And it can seem like, yes, I get it, intellectually, philosophically. Of course, I cannot authoritatively speak for you, Marie, but generally speaking, we've been in material life for a long, long time. And you know, Marie, when I say a long, long time, I'm not talking about you mean 10 years? You mean since I'm a kid? We've been in material life for maybe millions of lifetime, maybe trillions or quadrillions of years. Spirit, soul's eternal. And our mind's been heavily conditioned to go for things, to accept things that are not conducive for self-realization, and to reject things that are conducive. So, yes, I know you're practicing self-realization, Murray. At the same time, even if you've been practicing it for a year or 20 years, it's sort of a tip of the iceberg. And, I would offer the perspective that the extent to which you are engaging your days and your hours in clear spiritual cultivation, it really points to the power of this process of bhakti yoga that you're experiencing. Because, it could be that you've been in material life for again millions of lifetimes. So you've really just been practicing this reconditioning, retraining process for a very relatively short time. So that's the beginning of an answer. And the answer is true and authentic for me, and maybe it had the effect that you can feel a bit encouraged and not discouraged.
We have a caller on Skype. I'm going to try to bridge him. I'm not sure it will work. Okay. Hello?
Yes. Hello. Welcome.
I'm not hearing Francis online. You're hearing him. I'm not hearing him.
Yes.
Wait.
Who's this? I'm doing well, Brent. Good to hear from you. This is Brent from Edmonton, Canada.
Wait, it's not working. It's not working.
What happened to Brent? There he is. He's coming here.
I'm not going to respond to him.
Hello, Brent. Hello, Brent. We had Brent, and we lost the connection.
You're not online anymore. You're not nowhere. Where's him call? Okay, now you're online.
Hello, Brent.
David. David. Our experiment didn't work, and for a while, our listener, you couldn't hear David, and we apologize for that.
Okay. All right.
Okay, and so we try.
I tried to get a Brent online, and it didn't work. So I'm going to ask, Brent did write a question on Skype, so I'm going to read his question. He said, I want to ask what form of meditation, either yourself or David, you really dive deep into your being and explore your power, purposefulness, and spark.
Thanks for that question, Bren. I appreciate it. Yeah, there's so many forms of meditation. There you might say, yeah. So myself, for close to 30 years, I regularly practice mantra meditation. It's actually described towards the end of my book, Relationships That Work, The Power of Conscious Living, How Transformative Communication Can Change Your Life. Towards the end, there's a section called Sattva as a Basis for Satisfaction. And in that section, I describe mantra.
Are you online, Brent?
Yes, I missed. I wasn't able to hear for the answer about meditation, but if you like, I'd be happy to listen back to a recording or something like that.
Oh, thanks, Brent. I'm glad you called in. I say, personally, I mostly use mantra meditation because a mantra, when I say not just any mantra, it's like we can't take any sound vibration and say that's my mantra. Like you could try it. Like you could try chanting Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola for 10 minutes and see if you feel closer to the divine. So I chant a few mantras. The main mantra I chant is called the Maha Mantra. It's actually described in the Vedic literature as Idi Shodashakam Nam Nam Kali Kama Shanashanam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That this Maha Mantra is the most recommended form of meditation for self-realization in this particular age. This age is called Kali Yuga. Harinam, 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 Kivali, Harinam, Eva Kivalam, Kalana, Stavina, 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 Gacharanyata. So this mantra is particularly recommended for this age. Mantra meditation for me, because the principle is, The more senses that are engaged in an activity, the easier it is for the mind to focus. So for me, when I try to meditate silently, I can't clear my mind of thoughts for more than 4 or 5 seconds, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
So with mantra meditation, with a genuine bona fide mantra, then the mind's engaged in sound vibration, the sense of hearing, the sense of touch, because I channel in beads. Thank you for your question, Bren. It's a wonderful topic.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Brent. And yes, and we've had some other shows. We've spoken a bit more about meditative process, and it's a very rich and inexhaustible topic. Thank you for joining us on the Sofitov Radio Hour. Thank you, Brent, for your call. This is David Wolf. Join us next week, next Wednesday, on the Sofitov Radio Hour, your station for self-realization.